You're listening to the Kingdom Culture Church podcast. To connect with us, hop on social media or go to kingdomculturechurch.com.au.
Well, how you doing? You good? Ah, my goodness. Just stay standing for a moment. Man, church is fun. Can I just say, your church is amazing. And I'm lucky enough, like Pastor Fred, to visit a couple, but this church is special. And the church is special, right across the globe. But what God's doing in this house, in the suburb, even with the name at the beginning of the suburb, irrespective, the Lord moves amazingly when the hearts are hungry, the appetite of the people. I just think it's a special thing that we're in the company of Christ right now. You know, we're in the house of God. This is actually God's house. And even greater than that, we've actually been welcomed in. He's like said, oh, come into my home. And it's not just Barry's home. This is God's home. It's pretty special. If you read the Bible, which I'm sure many of us do, anytime anyone was in the company of Christ, something significant happened. And we're in the company of the same Spirit of God is here right now. Like when we read the Bible, you know, people that are hungry, what happened? They were fed. People that were looking for breakthrough, they received their breakthrough. People that needed an impartation of hope, or as Jesse Rose said, needed a bit of faith increase around the company of Jesus, that you cannot not be transformed in the company of Christ. People that were sick tonight too, you were once represented in the company of Jesus and you were healed. In fact, dead things come to life in the presence and the company of God. Even the house of God, the word tabernacle actually means the dwelling place of God. It's where God dwells. And so just before I get into the Word of God, if you feel comfortable, just raise your hand, Sam. And I just would love to start tonight just by praying for you and praying for almost not even for God to move, because He's already here, right? It's more for our heart, for our tangible body to be reminded and awakened to the reality of the presence, the reality of the Spirit of God. Father God, Abba Father, we thank You tonight. We thank You for the great privilege it is to be in Your company, the great honor it is to be bestowed upon You, God. We just pray right now, we thank You in Your presence, in Your company, there's fullness of joy. And I just prophesy right now to any dry bones, I pray living waters, rivers and rivers of living waters to come and fill this place. We thank You, God, for such a significant shift to take place in the hearts of every man and woman represented here tonight. We thank You that here in Your presence, anything can happen, and it probably will. In Your mighty name, we all said, amen, amen. So come on, let's be blessed as you take your seats tonight. Wait, come on, more time. Can we just honor your incredible worship team? Jesse Rose. These guys are good. They're good. I'm excited because in about 3 hours, I'm going to get to worship with them once I finish my preach. And tonight, we're going to continue worship pretty soon. I'm glad they get the jokes here. This is good. Doesn't work so well in Manila, but it works well here. So, it's such a privilege to be here. And from my home, as your pastor just mentioned, my beautiful wife, Jazz, and our two sons, Hunter, Duke, and Knox Archibald, I believe they're watching online right now. Freddie, just let me know they're watching. Hi, babe. Hey, boys. We've got a third son on the way in about 6 to 8 weeks. So, which is cool, which is actually a whole miracle story, but we don't have time for that, but that's a really cool story. And if you are looking for, just the miraculous to take place in your life, can I just encourage you, God is the God of the impossible. And whether you're a barren woman here or whatever is your condition or your situation, you think He cannot, I want to encourage you, yes, He can. And anyway, that's a whole other preach, but I do have a third son on the way. And also from my home, City Point, and our senior pastors, Mark and Lee Ramsey, who I'd love to just honor them as well for releasing me to be here with your church tonight. And from our home to your home, I just want to honor these two incredible human beings right here. Your pastors, your senior pastors, Pastor Rob and Heather, you guys are just a beacon of hope. Like, I thank you for the tangible, there's many attributes of the Lord. Like, we know the fruit of the Spirit. But man, you're good at number one, the love. Like the love of God through you just oozes so effortlessly out of you. And I just feel like when I come here, even though I love Freddie and the fam, like they're my people, and you might be a few couple years ahead of me, but I just feel like you are actually my family just as much as my peers here and my friends, you know? Like, and I just want to thank you for actually being a mother and a father that is diligent in the things of God in the secret place. And that your character sustains your gift. But Yeah, I just think this is just so... I had the privilege of being here on a Wednesday night a couple of years ago. Everything pre-COVID's a blur, right? Because anyone... I don't even remember 2019, but it was a while back. But yeah, just who you are. And I just see this as just, honestly, renovation number one of many, many rooms. And I'm just super excited for the future generations that are going to be impacted by your gift in love. I think everything you do is ministered out of love, the way you value humanity, the way you see the value in people, specifically in the northern region, is amazing. So thank you so much. I actually meant that in a really nice way. I think someone laughed, but I think everyone needs to be loved, amen? But yeah, can we just put our hands together? Just honor your senior pastors, Pastor Rob and Heather. Incredible. Thank you so much. Were you ready for the Word of God tonight? We're going to have some fun tonight, so I think it'll be on the screen behind me if you don't have your Bible with you. If you do, feel free to open up to, we're going to go OT, Old Testament. Is everyone okay with that? I know some young people maybe haven't been there in a while because you just love the new stuff, but can I encourage you, the old stuff's just as powerful. So we're going 2 Chronicles tonight, chapter 7, and if you haven't brought it, that's okay. There is no judgment. It's on the screen because we live in a modern day, praise the Lord. But we're going to read this together. This is my key passage for tonight. And I really pray the Holy Spirit's going to, yeah, just impart something fresh into your heart. And when praying into this moment, because I feel really honored to be doing some hot nights, hot weeks lead up to conference, right? Is everyone who hasn't registered for conference? Can I just shame you real quick? No one? Good. That's a good answer because you should have already registered. But in lead up to conference, I've been preparing my heart of like, what could I contribute? Who loved Pastor Anna this morning at the 9 a.m. service? So tonight's just a continuation of great things. And I really believe that when praying that I didn't want to just speak into worship or even discipleship, all great things, or even outreach and influence. I really felt to speak into key ingredients to a manifestation of God. And in lead up to your worship conference, which I'm expect it's going to be incredible. So 2 Chronicles chapter 7, it says this, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." Now, I don't know about you, but I probably would say that out of any moment in history, historically, all the generations that have ever lived, there's probably never been a more key time in history than the now generation that needs a move of God. No doubt the pandemic is horrific. No doubt it's done a lot of crazy things economically, with people's health, etc. We don't need another preach on the pandemic. But what I do know is that it's no surprise to me that which a manifestation is basically the breath of God in our reality, right? And here is this complete disgusting disease that everyone knows by name, which I won't even give credit to mention it, starting with C, that has ripped up the world as we know it, which in fact is the enemy's assignment literally on the respiratory system of mankind, to physically be able to breathe. And so I believe that the Lord wants to regain something that was stolen from the church, which is actually our breath. Like even masks, I don't want to get into that either. Tonight's not going to get political. But man, I hate wearing something that literally is a mask, like a gab over my mouth of able to inhale and exhale the presence of God. So for me tonight, I really want to speak into not just some cute message, but I pray that you take something home that's actually tangible for your life. And that it's actually a key for you to actually outwork in your day-to-day life. Because church is amazing. Sunday is amazing. Anyone love Sundays? But I want to encourage you, Sunday as well as Monday and Tuesday, we need to be inhaling the presence of God. Did anyone feel so refreshed just then by the presence of God through our worship time? As the team led us so authentically into a move of God that, you know, you can actually receive that on a Monday. You can actually receive the exact same manifestation on a Tuesday. You know, even on a Thursday when your boss is kind of ticking you off and you get home and it's 7 p.m. and you're like, do I have to do the Friday with that guy again? Can I encourage you, even on that Thursday night, you can have a move of God in your room. You can have the breath of God breathing life into you. And so even though we know this passage, a lot of us could quote it, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, what does he say? He says, then I will hear from heaven, then I will forgive your sin, and then I will heal your land. We all know that. So probably a lot of us have seen it on grandma's toilet wall and all the things, right? But many of us don't actually know the background or the context of when the Lord said this, which is really important. So I'm going to speak into that a little bit tonight. Is that okay? And then we're going to, kind of pull this apart. So many of us know King David, man after God's own heart, amazing worshiper. We read a lot of the Psalms. His son Solomon, who is actually the third king of Israel, builds this incredible temple. Now, anyone like me love The Block, but are hopeless with their hands? Okay. So I'm addicted to any renovation show, no matter how tacky or terrible the budget is. Like, I'm all about The Block and my wife, and we're addicted. Yet I'm hopeless with my hands. Like, I'm not the guys doing it, but I like to just watch it and be like, yeah, you should renovate. Yeah, you should put the door handles like there. Yeah, we should renovate that wall. But like, me physically do that would be literally comical. It's not my skill set. However, if you read 2 Chronicles, read chapters 1 up to 7, here we find this amazing man, Solomon, who builds this beautiful temple. And if you're into The Block, you literally get chapters worth of specifics. It talks about the gold trimmings, the stones on the walls, the carvings, the floor. Like, it actually goes into a lot of detail. So all The Block fans are like, it's a good read. So I was like, I'm loving this. This whole chapter is so interesting. Like, and there's no ads. There's no interruptions. Like, it's real good. So anyway, so Solomon is making this beautiful temple for the Lord, and the reason he made it, which is even more important, is because he wanted it to be a sanctuary of worship and a place where burnt offerings would be made unto the Lord, and that he could what? Dwell there. And so in this moment, not only does Solomon, he's a pretty wealthy man, he's king of Israel, he doesn't just employ, 10 guys to build a nice home or a temple, not even 100 guys, not even 1,000, not even 10,000. You read it in chapter 7, Solomon employs 153,600 men to make this temple. So, which is probably a whole nother preach about preparation and how actually ushering in the presence of God has a lot to do with the foundational work. However, tonight it's about the manifestation of God. And so what happens is Solomon builds this beautiful temple and he calls the elders to actually go into Zion and bring the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, and he asks them to specifically place it in the inner sanctuary, known as the Most High Place. And as he places this in, and as the elders step back, you read in chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles, in that moment, the people begin to worship, the musicians play, the singers lift their voice, they actually say these words, he is good, his love endures forever. He is good, his love endures forever. And if you ever do some study on who those people are and the context of what they had been through, for them not to sing like, come to me, help my barren land. No, they choose to sing, no, he is good and his love endures forever. And as they sing this, as they fix their eyes on God, not on the problem, as they declare who he is, not what the circumstance looks like, what happens? We read here in this chapter that all of a sudden God shows up, literally in the room. The words are in the Bible. He actually appears as a dark cloud in the temple, and the people don't even know what to do. If you read it, if you read chapter 6, what actually happens is it says the priests don't even know what to do with the service. So it's like a pastor's here today being like, holy moly, this isn't just a good worship set. Like, he's actually in the room. Like, we can all physically see the cloud. And the pastor Rob's like, what's next? Isn't it meant to be offering on the church news? And literally it says they don't know how to operate this service because of the magnitude of the presence of God in the room. And so, like any good pastor and leader, Solomon prays, which is a good tip, by the way. If you're a growing leader here, if you don't know what to do in things, just pray. It's a good way to start. And so he prays. And if we can go back just a chapter, let's go 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 1. It says here, when Solomon finished praying, so I've just had a manifestation of God, right? When Solomon finished praying, fire now comes down from heaven and consumes the burnt offering and sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord fills the temple. Now, first of all, like a cloud, if that's not good enough, like God's like, yeah, you thought that was cute. Yeah. Watch this. I'm going to drop fire in your place. So he's like, oh, okay, I didn't know where to take this service, didn't know what was next, who the guest speaker is, I can't sure where to navigate this service. On, now you're dropping fire. Okay, cool. And it says here, the priests could no longer even enter the temple. So it's not even just about the people in the room anymore, now it's people on the exterior, cannot get in. When all the Israelites, so this is now reaching our communities, when all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord upon the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground and they worshipped, giving thanks to the Lord, saying, he is good and his love endures forever. Now, anyone love aircon or carpet or all the conventions that we have in a modern day beautiful church? And you're very blessed. I'm very blessed. But like, imagine if this thing was ripped up and we didn't have aircon. We didn't have the cold in the summer and the warmth in the winter and it's freezing and you're on pavement. Who else of us are actually going to get their knees a bit dirty and cry out to God and say, for he is good. And in fact, his love endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. Then what happens, that same day, Solomon goes home. He goes back to his home, and the Lord then, miracle number 3, appears to himself again. So one was the cloud, for the people. Secondary fire externally that comes from heaven to earth. Now all of the communities are like, what's going on here? Now the people of Israel are on their knees, on the pavement, crying out to God. And then the Lord appears to Solomon even in his home. That's a pretty good day. Let's call that a good day in church. That's a good Sunday. Like if that happened at City Point, like tonight, be like, good review, like good debrief. That was a mad service, guys. Yeah, flip. Okay, so this is actually what happens to Solomon, which actually sets us up, which prefaces the scripture we first started with. Solomon at night in his palace, the Lord says to him, Solomon, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. Like, wait a sec. Isn't that the time that the Lord says, I am the God, I am the great I am, I did some good things today? No, what he says is, he just focuses straight away with Solomon and says, yeah, just wait a moment. If my people though, like you thought that was good today, yeah, but if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, or if they would pray, if they would seek my face, what if they'd even turn from their wicked ways? He says, then I will hear from heaven. Like as if today wasn't already hearing from heaven. I'm like, oh, there's more than that? Like, that's you not even hearing from heaven? Oh, flip. This is going to, like, next Sunday is going to be baller. Like, this thing's on fire till next Sunday, you know what I mean? He literally says, if they would turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven. Then I'll forgive their sin, and greater more, then I'll heal their land. Anyone else want our land, our beautiful land of Australia, to be completely healed and consumed with the power and the living God? Right? So what's amazing to me when we're talking about what's the key ingredients? What is it that musters up the presence of God? What is it that draws his attention? He says here, for people who would do such things, he closes with this, then my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in that place. Or he says to Solomon, in this place. That's our prayer, church, right? That's our prayer, that this would be a place that draws the attention of God. This would be a house that the prayers offered up, that the cries offered up would be such an authentic cry of people who are prayer-filling people. People that seek the heart of God, not just on a Sunday, but on a Thursday. People that wouldn't just look at their wicked ways, but that actually stop what they're doing and turn and run from their wicked ways. People that would actually seek the face of God. And so tonight, I've just got a few key ingredients I want to encourage you with that I believe have been noted in the Word of God. So we know it's true and amen, right? This isn't just my ideas or things I've seen in manifestation meetings. No, this is out of the Word of God, which we know we can trust and rely on, of what are some ingredients into seeing a manifestation of God. Because what interests me is when they've just received a physical manifestation, that the first thing the Lord does, and he speaks to Solomon, he talks about repentance. The very first thing he says to him is, yeah, that was so great. But if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, they would pray. If they would seek my face and turn from the wicked ways. And you know what's amazing about repentance? There's a wave of repentance, I believe, globally happening in the church. There's almost a revival, a reawakening of repentance. And in fact, I would go as far to say is that repentance is the key to revival. So what happens is here the Lord is speaking to Solomon about having a repentant heart. What does it mean to humble ourselves? If the Lord says to you and I, Fred, that was an amazing weekend at this conference. And you're now back home. But imagine if you would humble yourself, what I could do. What does humility mean? Because we want to apply the Word of God, right? Anyone else here want to be humble servants? We know that the Lord resists the proud, but what does he do? He gives grace to the humble. So we need to be Christians, modern day Christians, that are faith-filled, are bold in the things of God, but man, we know how to walk with humility. Because we actually live in a generation that does not know what humility is. A couple of reasons. Firstly, the enemy we know is attacking the family unit like never before. So we have a fatherless generation. We have a generation that's being peer-led. They've not had anyone model to them what a humble life looks like. Another reason is we live in a unique generation that is young people completely bombarded, as we know, with social media. And the social ramifications that come with that and the cognitive disorders of self-image dysmorphia as a result of such things, right? Now, I'm not here to do a preach on social media. I think social media, as anything, can be offered to the Lord and can be used for many great things. But the social ramifications of people that do not know the Lord but are trapped in a social media generation is alarming. And as a result, what does it do? It makes us just put up our best things. I don't want to show my pre-makeup face. I'm a 14-year-old girl. I'll put up the pictures when I've got my makeup face. And then I'll put 19 filters on it because all I want to do is show my best face, right? So all of a sudden we're being like changed in a way of a generation that doesn't even know what humility looks like. even I'm not even proud of young first beginnings. Just want to show the progression and the success, right? And so all of a sudden, the Lord's actually asking you and I love the name of this house, Kingdom Culture Church, that no matter what is happening in the world, our culture is not defined by society or the climate, but we're kingdom people. So as a result of whatever's happening in the reality, you and I have all authority and have been given all power to actually live a kingdom lifestyle every single moment of our life, which is incredible, right? By the grace of God. So here we are now being kingdom people that know that we live in a society that does not understand humility. And in fact, there may even be people coming into our church who were once not walking with the Lord, but now have a father and a shepherd, and they're also growing in what it means to be humble. Oh, what, so you want me to like put some chairs out? Do I get to grand myself doing that? Or like, do I get like a trophy for doing it? No. We just want you to put the chairs out. We just want you to like just make way and maybe serve on the front door to make way for people that are very lost and broken and actually about to come in and find the creator of all the universe tonight. Like, that's actually a real privilege that you get to serve on that front door. That's not just some cheap job from Woolies. No, that's a significant role. You're the front face into the kingdom of God. Like, pretty significant. What an honor. So we've got this culture challenge, right? We've got this challenge where we've got the world coming in saying, I want the power, but I don't know what this humility thing is, right? Do you know what the word repent? We were at a conference, Pastor Darlene Check's conference, and you guys were there. And this amazing moment that I'll never forget, Pastor Mark Varagese from overseas, or Perth, but he's got churches all over the world. He talked into what repentance means. The word repent means to go back, to return. The word pent actually means to return on high, hence where we get the word penthouse from. So when we repent, we're basically returning to our first love who is on high. When this is a real shortened version of his really great preach, by the way, and I'm just summarizing it, but I want to give him credit because it's not my revelation. But basically, this concept of what repentance is a simple sign of essentially surrendering as a bondservant and saying, I choose to return to my rightful place back on high in righteousness with the Lord because I've repented, where there's no condemnation, there's no regret, there's no like, oh, I shouldn't have, or well, am I worthy or not? No, you're worthy, you're in the penthouse. Oh, am I really, do I have sonship? Am I really a daughter? No, you are a daughter of the Most High God. You have repented, you're already, it sounds crazy, but you have already received the kingdom opportunity of being a son or daughter of God. So to repent, for us to be a people that would actually repent, it requires us to humble ourselves. The antonym of humility, when you study humility, is pride. So pride and repentance can never coexist. It's impossible to have repentance and pride in the same situation. They're literally enemies. So for you and I to be walking in kingdom lifestyle, which we know requires repentance, therefore, before that, the step before that is removing pride. It's actually being a humble people. When was the last time you and I had a conversation, workplace, university, with a family member, with a housemate, and you actually spoke to them in a way that later on you thought, I didn't really value them. The way I spoke to them was actually like, it's almost like I forgot the magnitude of the great value of that human being that is my housemate. I forgot they're actually a masterpiece from God that he spent time designing. And then we actually walk back into the dining room and say, can I just apologize? You know, like half an hour ago, how we had that conversation. I'm just so sorry for the way I spoke to you. That was super disrespectful. It was actually really like disgusting how I spoke to you because you're actually such a valuable masterpiece of God. I just want to super apologize. Like, I hope you can receive that. Like, when was the last time that was part of our daily conversation in workplace? Where, hey, I'm just so sorry. I had this weird thought before and I spoke out of the wrong place. I've completely been out of line. I just wanted to say I'm super sorry. And like, you're so incredible. You know, the kingdom culture, that's actually probably should be a normal conversation for us rather than like a normality or like, oh, that's a foreign concept. No. You know, it's those little things. That's actually what's a part of a manifestation of God. It's not just great music. It's not just some great international revival preacher or the media coming up doing reports about your church. That's not really revival. Revival actually begins in the heart. It begins when we go, actually, I want to be purified in my heart. I want to be a humble person. I want to be someone that lives in the kingdom of God in the quiet place, not just in the public declarations or the public gatherings. And I believe that's when we can actually be those people in the secret place, man, as the Lord said to Solomon, that's a place that I incline my ear to. That's a place my eyes are attentive to in that house with the people of that heart that would humble themselves and pray. Another key ingredient is seeking the face of God. I don't know about you, but COVID has done crazy, weird things, but great things. There's been so many things that I'm like, oh my goodness, what is happening? Like, The word pandemic, I don't even think I can even say it anymore. Like, is anyone over it? I'm just like, yeah, we've heard of that. It's been a good 40 months now. Let's just move on. But it's, at the same time, it's always listening to the Holy Spirit and the whispers of the Holy Spirit. Like, hey, this situation's really unique. But what could you teach me through this? Hey, this whole mask wearing thing and all the stats and all the different political views, like, that's not my domain. I just choose to be submitted to you. What is it you want to do in me? What do you want to break in me to reshape me to be a kingdom-minded person? What about me? How can I actually reach people in this season rather than just wishing it was over or wishing it didn't exist? It exists. Like, hello, it's real, right? But ultimately, Lord, what's our response as the church? What's our role in this moment? How can we now reach people that are ever more than ever been more fearful? How do we actually love people that are more broken and confused and scared than ever that we can actually impart the joy of the Lord, dispelling fear over their lives, right? And so one of the things that the Lord's been speaking to me about is seeking his face. And the words that the Lord uses to Solomon, he goes, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from the wicked ways. But what does he say? He says, they will pray and seek. Now, prayer moves mountains. I love that song we sung tonight. I actually thought it was yours. I was like, Pastor Fred, is this your song? Like, this song's amazing. And he's like, no, it's Bethel. But the fact that I thought it was yours is a good sign that your worship's just as good. Can I say? Talking about what mountain can he not move? You know, Proverbs 18 tells us life and death, it is in fact in the tongue. The power of life and death, where is it? It's in our tongue. This tiny thing has the ability to bring life or death. That tells me that when I pray, circumstances that maybe weren't going to take place now have the ability to take place. Things that maybe appear impossible, if I choose not to use it, nothing's going to happen. But if I choose to pray, if I choose to add faith to my prayer, then something must shift. Not by our ability, but the power of God through us, right? So imagine if we were a praying people, not just a Sunday praying people. I'm talking about a praying people. Imagine if we came into church and our knees were trashed, not because we're just being cool with our ripped jeans, right? But actually because we've been on our knees for 6 days. And then when we come in, all we're doing is casting vision. All we're doing is edifying one another with the revelation of what God told us 3 days ago. All we're doing is building each other up with edifying prophetic words of a vision you received on a Monday because you know it's to edify and encourage someone on the Sunday. Imagine if Sunday was just almost an overflow of 6 days of the week praying to the Lord. You can't tell me that something can't shift in your life, in your family's life, in your household environment, in your workplace, if we're not a praying people. Prayer doesn't sometimes happen. Prayer moves mountains. To seek, the word to actually seek actually means to relentlessly pursue. When the Lord's saying here to Solomon, yeah, that was great. But if you would seek my face, like anyone else feel, I'd feel so challenged. If I had just seen the cloud and then the fire, and then we're on the cold concrete and we're crying out. And all we're singing is, he is good and his love endures forever. And then he's like, you know, imagine if you seeked me. I'd be like, that wasn't seeking. Like we still, you know, like pocket worship. Like we still give that sometimes. Like we hold our latte or whatever we drink. I don't drink coffee. That's why I always feel like I don't know what to say here. Latte or flat white or cappuccino if I was like 90. Yeah. So, okay. I'm glad that worked. I actually don't even know what that is either. But, you know how we do that? We have our little pocket worship. Like, that was a good song. Oh, yeah, I like that, Jesse Rose. Yeah, that was good, Brad. Nice rave, yeah. Yeah, I'll give a hand for that one. Yeah. And then we're like, it's a bit cold. It's June. I'll put it back in where it keeps me warm. Like, is that the worship that we offer? Like, sometimes it's like literally it's a latte, it's a pocket hand, and it's a gram, and it's like, good Sunday. Yeah, God was good. I felt good, so that must be good. I think we've completely missed the point that actually the whole reason we're in the presence of God, the whole reason we're in the dwelling place, the whole reason we've even had the privilege to even be welcomed in, like actually invited in and then actually wanted to be encouraged to be here. And then we get to offer out a song unto the Lord. Like, what a privilege. Who cares what we feel like? Who cares what the songs are, or the lyrics are? Who cares what the chord progress? Who gives a rip? Like, we should just actually tonight, let's just rip the carpet up and let's turn the aircon off and let's put all the ugly fluorescents back on. And then like, let's just do normal temple worship. Who would be willing to seek the Lord then? Without the smoke, and hear my heart, I'm a creative. I actually love all these elements that we do to help people focus on the main thing rather than be distracted by, you know, whatever the grease on the walls or whatever it could be, right? But when I think about Solomon and the temple and when I think about the things that were seen, there's something in me that it's like this righteous jealousy, if that's such an unbiblical thing to say. But like, I want to see that take place at City Point next week. I don't want to wait another 30 years to see that story told again. Oh, I'd love to see fire from heaven come down and hit a it doesn't have to be City Point, this church, any church, the church, and it hits a building that then the people of Brisbane are going, hey, that's abnormal. Maybe there is a God during this pandemic. Maybe his power is real, which is pretty amazing. You know what manifestations do too? Because I know sometimes we can get a bit like, ooh, hocus pocus, oh, just give us the bells and whistles and I'll feel good. But actually the reason we want a manifestation of God is, one, we don't have to preach as much. It's like, hey, bro, I've been preaching to like for like 6 years in the workplace, but like, check that out. So tell that story. There's fire on the building. Like, that's not Anastasia Palaszczuk. Like, there's no Rama, like, mustering that up. Like, the Lord will speak for himself. He doesn't need a justification, right? So when we would actually seek the face of God, actually get on our knees, actually regardless of your situation, and I say this with all encouragement, like I know hard seasons can be hard, but if you could muster up the faith to not ask God, fill me, do this for me, and even in your hardship, even in the desires of your heart, when you're crying out for that baby that the doctors told you, you will not have a baby, whether it's your employee saying, you're never going to go far in this industry, whether it's you have a dream in fashion and your icon has told you you're horrific, or whatever is your turmoil, we all have different situations. But imagine in those seasons, not just the mountaintops, but I'm talking the valley lows. What if in those seasons we'd muster up the faith to just say, he is good. In fact, his love endures forever. I don't need to talk about my situation. He already knows about it. He knows me more than anyone in this world knows me. He knows you and I in and through. And when our response, even in the valley low, is the goodness of God, his love for you and I, it endures all things, all circumstances, all hardships, all things that sometimes you can't even muster up or can't fathom or comprehend or can't articulate. He already knows the beginning and the end. He is the great I am. That's when we have the opportunity to sing, he's good. His love endures forever. And I believe that's a key ingredient for when the Lord says, oh, this house on the north side of Brisbane, Australia, oh, this house where the people have mustered up the faith and come in, even with their mess, and they're not being artificial, they're not being fake, even with their hurt, even with their rough week and their circumstances and their additional needs children and all the circumstances that come around our life, even with the marriage breakdown that no one saw coming and the abuse, are they still find themselves in the house of God with messy knees? Are they still coming in and they're not talking about their problem? They're saying, how good is our God? His love's so good. I couldn't do anything without him. I don't want to spend a moment without him. Yeah, that's when the Lord, I believe, the Lord's ears are attentive. That's when the eyes of the Father is looking over going, oh, but in this place, that's where I can hear from heaven. That's the people I can heal their sickness. That's the people I can heal their land. If the team could come up in a moment, we're about to worship through this. Hebrews 12, it says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. What's it say here? Fixing our eyes on Jesus. If I could encourage you, maybe there's been a lot of things said tonight. Even that offer, I just felt like that offering was like, that's my take home. Like, that was such a great word, Pastor Fred. Like, Robert's like, do you often do great? I feel like you're gifted in generosity speaking. It's like a mantle on you. I feel like, I just felt like literally rivers of living waters for like 5 minutes. Like, as you spoke, I'm like, this is the most refreshing, non-money related, but still money related ministry. Anyway, side note, but that was powerful. But whatever you took from tonight, of the many great things, maybe for you tonight, it's just fixing your eyes on Christ. Like maybe this scripture I just read, Hebrews 12, of running the race, is a bit like, I can't even stand. Like now you want me to run? Maybe it's the second part that we often don't say. It says, run the race with perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Who is he? He's the perfecter of our faith. When we fix our eyes and behold him, like we sung tonight, anything can happen. I think for some of us, we just actually need to take a risk again. Some of us have been too safe. Some of us, we turn that scripture, run with perseverance. We turn it into preservation. We're like, oh, just oh, it's a marathon. I got to take it slow. We're like, oh, I better just persevere this few months. But really, no, the word preservation, if you study preservation, you got to get back in the gym like tomorrow at 6 a.m. because like there's a lot of work to do. Running with preservation is quite different to running with perseverance. To persevere something, that's significant. That's worthy to be praised. From someone that would persevere. but to be preserving faith, to be preserving, or I don't want to give too much to the church. I don't give too much of my finances. They want me to come out midweek for a leaders' meet, or they want me to now come early on a Sunday to prepare the room for the lost to come in and be healed and restored. I'm just being careful with my serving post-COVID. You know, I've learned a lot of things in COVID. I've really learned that I'm important again. I'm really valuable. And even my family is more important, you know. Can I just challenge that real quick? Because I guess I'm not the pastor, so I get to say it, and then I get to leave. So if you want to hate mail me at clewis@citypointchurch.com. Don't throw it to your pastors. But can I just challenge you / encourage you tonight? The race isn't to be something that we just preserve. It's actually opposite. It's perseverance. And it doesn't stop. The beautiful thing is you just keep running. Keep pursuing hope. Keep building faith. Keep giving. Keep pouring. You know, the Word of God tells us, he who gives, he who waters others shall what? Be watered themselves. He who pours out. He, like Pastor Rob said, who gives out lavishly shall receive lavishly. So even in our worship tonight, actually, let's just stand in this moment of God. Even in our worship, let's not give pocket, hand, comfy, half-hearted worship. Would anyone like to go home tonight and actually say, you know what? I thought it was going to be another great service. Sure, I thought it was going to be another move of God. But man, I actually feel like the Lord transformed my heart. I actually feel like there was some things, some dry bones or some... Really, I even sense tonight there's people here. I feel like there's a couple of people. There's not many. I sense there's maybe three or four. And you have you're really weary. It's almost like you're exhausted. And I want to encourage you today. The Lord is not someone who fatigues you. He's not like a joy kill. He wants to fill your cup. He wants to lift your burden. He actually wants to fill you overflowing tonight, that you're going to actually walk out of this place full of joy. You've come in really exhausted. It's almost like I sense not even just mental stability, it's almost like emotional fatigue. I want to encourage you tonight. The Lord is good at bringing dead things back to life. He's a master at it. And your situation, yes, it's complex. Yes, it's maybe a bit messy. Yes, it's a bit contrary to most. But you know what? Your situation's not too hard for the Lord. His eye's been upon you the whole time. He's a good shepherd. He's actually leading you to a really healthy pasture. And so tonight, wherever you're fixed, wherever you're positioned, just close your eyes in this moment. God, we're not here just to play church. We're not here just to do a service, a run sheet. Lord, we want to see a move of your Spirit in this place. And we thank you that the hearts and the character and the culture of this church is one that you would inhabit our praises. I thank you, God, that this is a people that are seeking after you 7 days a week, that we would be the ones in the earliest quiet of the morning or even late in the evening, that you would hear our prayers lifted up to you, that it wouldn't just be on a Sunday in the morning or a 5:30 service, but it would be in the quiet of the Monday. God, it would be the midnight of the Friday that you would see us on our knees singing for the goodness of God, praising the name of the Lord to be magnified, to be glorified, the most holiest name to be exalted above every other name. We thank you, God. I thank you that sickness has a name, but there's a name greater than the sickness that's been labeled over your life, the name of Jesus today.